All right, so here's what we do at Ross Tucker Media. Here's what we do with all the Ross Tucker football podcasts. We give you guys an edge. You listen to this show, the college draft, because you want edge when it comes to draft time. You want edge in terms of watching college football, knowing what to watch. Same thing with Fantasy Feast and Even Money and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, where you get an edge on living an awesome life and your best life. Here's where how else you can get an edge. BetQL. It's available for download, and it's the only mobile app that gives you everything you need to make smarter bets. You can access line movement to see how a game's odds have moved over time. It lets you see public betting trends so you can see which side of a bet the public favors. It is awesome. Use the promo code PODCAST to unlock your free 3-day trial. So download BetQL for free from Apple or Android device. Then use the promo code PODCAST so you can have a 3-day free trial to see how much you like it, how it can help you. BetQL.co. BetQL.co and promo code PODCAST.
Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
It's Daddy Soda time, baby, here on the College Draft Podcast. Ross Tucker, Fran Duffy with you as always, making sure you are caught up to date on everything going on in college football with the top prospects and previewing the biggest games this weekend. We're always presented by BetOnline.ag. You get a 50% bonus when you use the promo code PODCAST1. He is the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles at FDuffy3. Fran Duffy, we are very lucky to have him. I'm a former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Had a journeyman career. Love all the different podcasts we have for you over at rostucker.com. Learn quite a bit from guys like Fran. And love actually getting a chance every once in a while to break down some of the tape and talk about these guys. And yes, make sure you're listening because we do have one more phrase that pays this week for the free Madden this week. Fran, let's start with your TV viewing over the weekend. What you saw that really stood out to you?
Yeah, so Ross, you know, this week, starting with the noon games, you know, I bounced between Ohio State, Minnesota, and Florida, Vanderbilt in the noon games. You know, I was really hoping that we'd get an upset in one of those two games because it looked early on. Vanderbilt and Minnesota both jumped out to early leads, so I didn't really want to miss either one. So, you know, Ohio State wide receiver KJ Hill is getting a lot of the pub, as he should. You know, I watched that one-handed touchdown grab as it happened. I don't know if you saw it, but the catch was sick. It was one hand down the seam, reeled it in down the score for a touchdown. It was awesome. You know, and later on, he caught another touchdown as well. I haven't studied the kid yet, but those were some really strong hands. So that was impressive. I was interested, namely, just to see what Paris Campbell would do for an encore. The senior wide receiver, he went off 2 weeks ago. He caught 8 balls for 56 yards in this game. Last week against Indiana, he went 9 for 142 and a couple of touchdowns. And listen, you know, you get that kid out in space with the ball and you're getting a big play. He hasn't proven himself right now as a vertical receiver. He's not a proven route runner in the middle of the field, but he is definitely a game breaker. And we talked about this in some ways with a guy like DJ Chark a year ago. He went early round 2. Will Fuller went round 1 a couple of years ago. Guys that were, you know, had decent size and they were explosive, but maybe, you know, they had some flaws in their game as a receiver. Now, with both of those guys, they were proven vertical threats at the college level. They were used down the field. Paris Campbell, you know, he hasn't shown that at Ohio State. That's not how he's used. So I think he's going to have to go to the Senior Bowl to kind of prove that. But he's an intriguing guy with a really intriguing skill set. And I've watched a lot of him over the last 3 years. So it's been interesting to watch him develop. And it was a career game for him a couple of weeks ago at Indiana. And he had a bunch of catches last week against Minnesota as well. You know, Ohio State, they upset West Virginia. You know, a lot of people are going to talk about Will Grier and the interceptions over the last couple of weeks. But One of the things that's just as disconcerting to me are the sacks that he's taking. You know, it hasn't been pretty. You just see a lack of awareness in the pocket and inability to escape pressure, which we know is just so important at that position in the NFL level. And then when he does break the pocket, just knowing when to throw the football away and, you know, and not to take a sack. You know, when that's, to me, that just gets lumped in with some of the bad decisions he's made down in the red zone lately. And I do think that that's going to be an issue for him moving into the NFL. Let me ask you this question. Yeah, I mentioned the upset from Ohio State against West Virginia. We had a bunch of upsets this weekend. You know, Georgia, they lose to LSU. You know, we saw a bunch of these teams go down. If Georgia were to win out in the regular season and just crushes everybody, like they just dismantle the rest of the regular season schedule, then they go and they lose a respectable nail biter to Alabama in the SEC title game. So they give the Tide the best fight of the season, but they lose. They go in, obviously, into the postseason with two losses. Can we say that they're a better team than Notre Dame, who just squeaked one out against Pitt this week, or Clemson, who barely beat Syracuse at home a couple of weeks ago, if those two squads stay unbeaten? Because I believe the easy answer is if one of those guys, one of those teams loses, Notre Dame or Clemson, if they've got one loss, then it's easy to say, yeah, a two-loss Georgia team is certainly better. But would you say that – could you make the argument that one of them is better than Georgia? Because remember, that's the goal of the College Football Playoff Committee, is to put in the four best teams, not the teams with the four best records. How do you kind of see that playing out if Georgia were to go in with two losses and that second loss is to a tight one against Alabama?
Well, I'm not convinced either Clemson or Notre Dame is better than Georgia under your scenario. But there is no way – that they would ever take a two-loss Georgia over undefeated teams. I don't even think they would take a two-loss Georgia over one-loss teams, but they definitely wouldn't take them over undefeated teams. So it's kind of a moot point. But, you know, I always do power rankings on Tuesdays today on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and I always do the power rankings based on, you know, what would happen if the two teams played in my backyard, you know, a neutral site in a five-game series, seven-game series. And I would take Georgia probably over both those teams, but they're not going to do that. I mean, if you lose two games, they're not going to be in.
I'll be very, very interested to see, because I honestly don't know that Notre Dame's going to go undefeated. I don't know that Clemson's going to go undefeated. So I think it'll be interesting, because we'll get into that one loss conversation versus two losses. But I agree with you that if they play on neutral field, even if it's just one game, I would say that Georgia would be the favorite against both of those teams on a neutral field, like even with two losses. So it'll be interesting just to see the conversations we have here in a few weeks. I know the first college football playoff rankings are coming out shortly. So that will be certainly make for some interesting discussion. But just another quick takeaway from Saturday. Justin Herbert just looks like a stud. You know, I picked Oregon to win. I do a weekly column. It's the Saturday scouting column over on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I picked the Ducks to win that game against Washington, and he really came through for me. I still hope he goes back for another year, just because – you know, look, he's now been the starter for just over a full season's worth, of games, because he missed half of last year. So I just want to see him continue to get added reps at the college level and kind of learn on the job there, get another year of being the guy and, you know, and everything that comes along with that. But he is really, really talented. He's a ton of fun to watch. All the physical tools you're looking for. He's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, he's been very, very, very impressive so far, I think. Almost as impressive as all the latest commercials they've got about Dos Equis. It's pretty cool, by the way, to see the tweets and the pictures people are sending me. I love that you guys are taking us up on going ahead and giving Dos Equis a try if you never did before. Here's what we know about Dos Equis. Number one, it's delicious. Number two, they have very creative people that have like the most interesting man in the world. And now they've got the Steve Spurrier and Les Miles commercials that are funny. And so funny that they have Ben Franklin exaggerating him as the president. And Brian, our producer, doesn't pay attention and says, when was he actually the president? So that part of it's cool, because you can trick people that aren't really paying attention to the campaign as well. And they keep it in Terrasante this college football season, with Dos Equis because they're the official beer sponsor of the College Football Playoff and the official beer sponsor of the College Draft Podcast. Good enough for me. Drink Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Fran, let's also get a little bit more into some of the things that I got a chance to see. It was cool. Buffalo and Akron was the game I called for CBS Sports Network on Saturday. And unfortunately, Akron was without two of their better players. Not their pro prospects, but two of their better players to make the game more competitive. They've got three guys. Akron does. They got a defensive end, Jamal Davis, a linebacker, Ulysses Gilbert, who runs very well, and yep. a corner, Kyron Brown, who's got some size and can play well. I think Jamal Davis is probably the most intriguing just because he was a transfer from Pitt, played linebacker at Pitt, and he's really only had his hand in the ground now for a year and a half and is kind of still learning how to play defensive end, but he's been pretty impressive. Meanwhile, for the University of Buffalo, Fran, I don't know, have you checked out Tyree Jackson yet, their quarterback?
I haven't watched him yet because he's an underclassman, and I haven't gotten to him yet, but I kind of know what he brings to the table in terms of his skill set. I know he's a big arm kid. I know he's athletic and obviously has outstanding size, but I haven't studied him yet.
Yeah, so I think he's still a little bit raw in some ways, although like the offensive coordinator told us, when they script the first 15 now, he now asks Jackson to do his own 15, and then they kind of talk it over and put it in. So you love hearing things like that.
Yep.
And watching him develop. He started as a 13-year-old freshman in high school. So he's young. 13-year-old freshman in high school, he started at 5'9", and now he's a good 6'7". Like, he's a legit 6'7". He's grown 10 inches, and he actually reminds me he's not quite as fast as Terrell Pryor, but he reminds me of him, but he throws the ball better than Pryor ever did, that's for sure. So I think he's going to be a really intriguing one for scouts out there because he's got incredible size, and there have been other guys, Osweiler and Ryan Mallett and Lynch or whatever, none of whom, by the way, have really panned out that great, but
sure.
He just moves so much better than those guys do. So I thought that was interesting. They also have a wide receiver, Anthony Johnson. Did you studied him, right?
Yeah, I've studied him each of the past two seasons. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on him, seeing him in person.
Well, so he's been injured this year.
Yeah.
He's had hamstring issues, so he didn't even really play that much, and he did not get separation in the routes he did run, but he made a couple of really nice contested, body control catches, and it seems to me like that's kind of who he is. He's really put together well. He's physical. Had a ridiculous year last year. I mean, ridiculous. Some people have him ranked really high, right?
Some people have him ranked really high. I watch him and I see a lot of what you're saying. He's really good at the catch point. I think he's really natural at playing the ball in the air. He finishes well. He can win in those contested situations. I've seen him make big plays down the field just in those kind of, fades or back shoulder throws. Anything where he's going to go up and battle a guy one-on-one. I worry about his ability to separate, man. I mean, that's really the big thing I came away with. I mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show that at times he almost looks like a tight end with the ball in his hands. Like he's just in terms of just his acceleration, his change of direction, just his ability to win one-on-one on his own. I think that will be a little bit of a question mark in terms of trying to project him to playing on the outside. And you said he's really well built together. I've had some people tell me that he's like 220 plus, like in terms of his weight. Like he's a big boy, and that's a good thing. But if you're going to try and see if you can create separation against, Marshawn Lattimore and Tre'Davious White and Xavien Howard and some of the best top young corners in the NFL, you need a little bit of juice. And I'm not sure on film if he's got that.
Well, I certainly didn't see that, you know, on Sunday. But again, he was a little banged up. So
yeah,
we'll have to see how it goes the rest of the year. I also watched Michigan, Wisconsin, and I was pretty impressed by Michigan, man. I mean, they and really up front, both sides of the ball, their offensive line is much improved from how they played against Notre Dame. But you know who stood out to me the most in that game, Fran?
Who's that?
It was actually T.J. Edwards for Wisconsin.
That's my boy,
He is a stud.
That's my
guy is good. That guy was making plays all over the field.
He, like, you know, and there are a lot of guys on that Wisconsin defense. Everybody's talking about Dakota Dixon, the safety in the summer. And, you know, they've got another senior linebacker, Ryan Connolly. They've got the big nose tackle. I mean, they've got guys. But T.J. Edwards, to me, like, there's some question, I think, about his athletic ability to be a three-down player, kind of along the same lines of what we talked about with Josie Jewell, maybe not quite to that extent last year. But, man, T.J. Edwards is so instinctive, and that's against the run and the pass. I really, really like that kid. Like, I'm excited to dig into this year's film. I didn't get a chance to watch this game really until the very end. Like, when it was out of hand, I turned it on. But, yeah, I'm glad to hear that he impressed you on film.
What do you have in terms of notable news from the weekend, Fran?
Dude, so many injuries this weekend. And just, you know, like yesterday, it was like one after the other, not just in college but in the NFL. You're seeing this news crawling across your Twitter timeline, and really none bigger than DK Metcalf, the redshirt sophomore wide receiver for Ole Miss. He left this week's game with a neck injury, and the coaching staff said afterwards, it didn't seem to be too serious. Well, then the report came out Monday that he was going to potentially need surgery and he's going to be out for the season. I mean, that's just crushing. You know, the kid, look, we talked about him in the summer. He is a freak show physically. I mean, he's long, he's tall, he's explosive, and he's a big body kid. We talked about this with Anthony Johnson. Like, I think he's like 6'4", 220, but the reported test times are crazy. I don't know that he quite plays to that all the time. I haven't studied him from this year. I know that he's been productive. I've seen the highlights and all that. When I watched him as a redshirt freshman last year, I didn't think he played that all the time. He was a little bit inconsistent at winning in those contested situations. He needed a ton of work as a route runner, but he's really good off the line of scrimmage. He's big and strong, and he's explosive. Like, there are a lot of really intriguing traits there. Just so to see the guy go down is really, really tough. You know, we'll see what he decides to do if he decides to go back. I hope he does, because he's not a finished product yet. And we'll see based off this year's film if he decides, you know, enough's enough. But he's a really, really talented player and a big loss for college football, really, because I know he's been one of the most productive receivers in the nation this year. Then you go out west, two guys from the Pac-12, Porter Gustin from USC, the pass rusher. He's out for the season again. He had some issues last year, and now I believe it's an ankle injury will cost him the rest of his senior year. I guess that's his last football that he'll play in college. This kid is all kinds of, technically sound. I mean, he uses his hands really well. He's got a natural plan of attack against offensive tackles. He can defend the run. He's got a high motor. Athleticism is a bit of a question. He's not an explosive kid upfield with his first step. He's not really fluid. He's not really flexible. But you see a lot of the things that you like to see from an NFL pass rusher. And he's probably more of a 3-4 outside backer than he is a 4-3 DN. But I do think that he could put his hand in the ground at times and win in the NFL. And then one of their rivals, UCLA, they lost one of their better offensive players with senior running back Soso Jamobo, a guy we talked about back in the summer. He's another kid. Honestly, it's kind of similar to Porter Gustin. He's got good size for the position. There are athletic limitations there. I do think he's got a patience and a feel for the position, especially in the zone run game. Catches the ball well out of the backfield. The lack of athleticism and explosiveness in the open field is going to be the question mark with him. But I believe it was a concussion with Soso Jamobo, which is kind of scary. That's immediately going to cost him the rest of the year. But there are a few injuries this week that really caught me off guard.
Absolutely hate seeing that. What about any other guys you got a chance to watch recently, Fran?
Yeah, so there's been a ton of buzz about this Alabama nose tackle, Quinnen Williams, and I hadn't got a chance to study him yet, so this was really my first look at him. He's in his first year starting for the Crimson Tide inside, and I got to tell you, he's not your typical Alabama defensive lineman. This is not Jerron Reed. This is not Dalvin Tomlinson or A'shaun Robinson or Josh Chapman. I mean, this kid is 6'4". He's 295 pounds. He's all kinds of twitched up. Athletically, he's very, very impressive. He's got a quick first step. He can make plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He's got the look of a legit interior disruptor in the NFL. He's got two rush moves, Ross, that work really, really well for him. He's got that quick club rip move, and he's got an explosive arm over. He'll win really quickly with both of those moves and also flash the power to collapse the pocket as a bull rusher. So you're talking about a guy that can win in a lot of different ways. He takes those athletic gifts, and then you marry that with his hat and hand placement as a run defender, his willingness to hold the point of attack and use his hands to stack and shed blocks like we've seen with all these great Alabama linemen over the course of the last few years under Nick Saban. You've got great potential there. Now, a couple of things worry me. Number one, and this is more of a minor thing, his pad level leaves a lot to be desired. He can play a little bit high at times, but that's easy enough to try and fix, and I don't think it's really a hindrance to his game. The major concern for me, you know, just was his motor. And I didn't see him making a bunch of plays in pursuit to the level that I would want from a top defensive lineman. And people can say, oh, you know, you don't need that to be a lead. Now, I look at the top guys at defensive tackle in the NFL right now. Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, Geno Atkins, DeForest Buckner. You know, you go to nose tackle and Linval Joseph and Snacks Harrison. Those guys are all making plays outside the hashes. They're all hustling to the football. They're all, you know, making these plays from sideline to sideline. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to go overboard here. We just talked a couple of weeks ago about the lessons learned from a guy like Chris Jones when he was coming out of Mississippi State in the past, or guys like Kawan Short at Purdue. If a D lineman plays a ton of snaps at the college level, I am not going to be turned off by a lack of motor completely. Now, he won't, you know, he's not going to play that many snaps in the next level. Some of these guys, you know, Kawan Short, I know, would play 85 snaps in the Big Ten at Purdue. That's not going to be the case when you go to the NFL. Quinnen Williams isn't going to play 89 snaps. He's not going to play 75 snaps. He's going to play more in the 50 range. So you'd like to see him, you know, show a little bit more from that standpoint. But so far, I've watched two games, Louisville and Ole Miss. Maybe there's more to watch. Obviously, there's a lot more to watch. Maybe he does it more in other games. I just didn't see it in those two, especially compared to, you know, last year. The guy in that spot was De'Ron Payne. De'Ron Payne flew to the football. Jonathan Allen was there the year before, not at nose tackle, but at BN. This guy was always going 100 miles an hour. And really, in those two games that I watched over the weekend, I didn't see that. And those are his predecessors. That's what I want to see more of the next time I put the film on. That being said, this kid's got loads of potential. He looks like a future big-time guy in the NFL otherwise. And there's a lot to like about Quinnen Williams, and a lot of people are really, really high on this kid in the media. Staying in the SEC, I watched Jonathan Ledbetter, the defensive end from Georgia. He's a two-year starter for Kirby Smart. Lines up anywhere, you know, from two-eye technique just inside the guard out to seven technique over the tight end. But he spends most of his time on the edge. You know, he's 6'3 and a half. He's just under 280 pounds. So right off the bat, you see a big, thick, sturdy kid off the edge. He's a strong run defender. He sets a good hard edge. He's constantly in the right spot as a run player. As a pass rusher, what he lacks in initial quickness and flexibility to turn the corner, he does make up for with hand use and technique. You know, I watched three games from this season so far, and he works in a lot of different moves as a pass rusher. His go-to is a really effective long arm technique, and he really kind of works off of that. That allows him to collapse the pocket. He's a tough kid, kind of a back alley street fighter in the trenches. You can tell that he really enjoys contact and the physical aspects of the game. What I question with him, however, is just his athleticism. You know, he's not going to be a fit for everybody. You know, his motor is a little bit up and down. There is the history of suspensions in his past due to some alcohol-related stuff, and it seems like he's moved on from that, which is great, but that'll obviously have to get checked out. I think that as a starter, he probably fits best as a two-gap D-end in a 4-3 scheme. So, you know, I'm thinking for like a Pete Carroll type of system where, you know, he could be that Red Bryant guy on the strong side. I think that's the role he fits best. For most teams, though, I feel like he'll be viewed as a run-stopping DN that can come off the bench and run downs and be a presence at the point of attack. I like the player. It's just, you know, the athletic upside is just the question mark there. You know, and then lastly, you know, we talked about Jalen Hurd last week on the podcast, and I just watched him that morning, so I wanted to further, you know, kind of hone in on my thoughts, and we'll talk about him this week. You know, look, people may remember, you know, he was a star running back at Tennessee a couple years ago. He played there with Alvin Kamara. He was the starter ahead of Kamara, and he actually left the Vols as the number two guy in terms of rushing attempts at that school. He's 6'4", he's 228 pounds. When he was at Tennessee, he was like in the 240s, I think, as a runner. So, this guy is a big kid. His departure from Tennessee was messy, and that kind of left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But this kid has lots of potential. Now he's playing as a slot receiver for Matt Rhule at Baylor, and I've watched a couple games so far from this season. He's got a surprising explosiveness for a guy who is that big, and that carries over from his time as a runner as well. I remember writing that down and talking about that here. He's surprisingly explosive. He picks up ground in a hurry. I think he could be a mismatch in the middle of the field against linebackers and safeties in the NFL. He's got some surprising snap as well at the top of routes. I didn't really expect that, considering he's still making that transition to the wide receiver position. Ross, I just don't know what the kid is at the next level. He's got no reps outside as a wide receiver. Can he prove that he can read coverages and work in the middle of the field at the NFL level? Can he get off press coverage if he does go outside? Can he be a full-time running back? Can he adjust to the ball in vertical throws if he goes to receiver? He's got soft hands for a running back, but, can he be that quarterback's best friend in the middle of the field? There aren't a lot of players that are built like him in the NFL. Well, that play the style of game that he does, whether you're talking about a running back or a slot receiver. Again, he's 6'4 and almost 230 now. I know he was in the mid-240s at Tennessee. I'm just not sure. He's definitely not a typical slot receiver. So what is the kid? The more I watched him, I thought he could be kind of a mismatch H-back at tight end, like a Trey Burton or a Charles Clay type of player. He's going to test like a freak show in the spring at the combine. His versatility is really, really exciting. I just don't know. I can't wait to see him in person, kind of see what he's built like and see, what he can do physically. But, watching him on film and just seeing him, excel as a running back in the SEC, and now he's productive as a receiver in the slot in the Big 12, he's going to be a really, really, really interesting case study. So just a guy I think will be really interesting to follow moving forward. Last year, he will be in this draft. And then one more guy. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm looking forward to checking him out as well, because I think your comparisons of Trey Burton and Charles Clay are pretty good. And I know you had one more guy you wanted to get to.
Yeah, just Easton Stick real quick, the quarterback from North Dakota State. I've been meaning to get to him. Finally did last week. He's a bit undersized there. I think there are some arm strength limitations there. But he's kind of got to put everything into his deep ball, but he's got true command of that offense. It's a pro style scheme. He throws with great touch to all levels of the field. He's got good poise in the pocket. He'll take a huge hit, deliver under pressure. Pretty accurate overall. His ball placement, was pretty good, not great. But I don't think he's a starting quarterback at the NFL level, but I do think he lasts for a long time in the league as a backup, a high end backup, low end starter, a guy that could come in and provide some depth for a team. I do like what I saw from Stick. I'm excited to see him in person. I would assume that he's going to be at the Senior Bowl in January.
I am excited to have more of you check out the All-American on CW. So I like drama. I like TV shows when I get a chance to watch them. And as you know, I love football. And that's why I'm checking out CW. New show, All American. I love it because it's based on a true story of Spencer Paysinger. He went to Oregon, played there, then he was drafted by the Giants, played in the league for a while, and it's his story as a young kid growing up as a high school football phenom in South Central, getting recruited to play in Beverly Hills. Tay Diggs is the coach, plays a former star player in his own right. And here's the thing, Billy promises Spencer, Billy's the coach, Tay Diggs, the chance to someday go pro. And that relationship is everything between the coach and the player, both the good and the bad. Don't miss out on the incredible new series, All American. It's Wednesdays only on the CW and the CW app. Again, the show is called All American.
Head to head.
All right, Fran, what do we got? I know we got a good one in the ACC this week, that's for sure.
Oh, no question. And I think really you look at NC State and Clemson, I think there's so much talent on both sides of the football, both sidelines here. We'll start at quarterback. And NC State, their senior quarterback, Ryan Finley, gets one of his biggest tests of the season against this Clemson defense. We know about that defensive line. Christian Wilkins is one of my favorite players in the country. Dexter Lawrence is a massive and really just a nimble athlete at nose tackle. I've heard a lot of good things about the underclassman corner, Trayvon Mullen. This is a really good test here for Ryan Finley and probably one of the top matchups in this weekend of college football. So certainly one guy to keep an eye on. Three more quarterbacks I want you to watch. Nick Fitzgerald, he gets another test here against LSU, the quarterback from Mississippi State. He's been largely up and down this year, probably more down than up. But they have had some big wins in the last couple of weeks. I think you look at Nick Fitzgerald, this test this week against Greedy Williams, the corner from LSU. Devin White, it looks like he's going to be a stud linebacker for the Bayou Bengals as well. And then Rashad Lawrence up front at defensive line for LSU as well. Vanderbilt, I just watched a good amount of their game against Florida. Kyle Shermer was a little bit up and down in that game as well. Another big test this week, Kentucky. They've got talent at all three levels of that defense. You know, Jordan Jones at linebacker is a guy that intrigues me. Josh Allen is really, you know, you talk to people, and a lot of people say, you know, he has helped himself more than any player in college football this season in terms of his NFL draft stock. He's been so productive and has come up big for the Wildcats in a number of different spots. And then that secondary, Mike Edwards at free safety, Derek Beatty at corner. It's a senior-laden group for Kentucky. We did that the SEC preview. You mentioned just how surprised you were at how many prospects I was bringing up with Kentucky, and that's shown this year. They've had a couple big wins. They started off, I believe, 5-0 on the season with a couple big wins on the road. So another good game here for Kentucky to kind of show out against Vanderbilt. And then out west, Colorado quarterback Steven Montez, you know, he's got another chance to shine here against Washington. They're smarting off that loss against Oregon this past week, but a really talented secondary. Byron Murphy, the underclassman, has gotten a lot of buzz as a first-round pick. You know, redshirt sophomore. I haven't studied him yet, so I can't speak to that. But certainly a guy that's gotten that kind of buzz is that kind of talent. Taylor Rapp, Jordan Miller is week to week now, the senior corner, but Taylor Rapp is a senior or an underclassman safety to keep an eye on as well. Going to running backs versus linebackers. Going into that Clemson NC State game, you look at Travis Etienne, the junior or the sophomore running back for the Tigers. He's a guy who runs really hard. I'm excited to see him against this NC State defensive front. You know, they've had a lot of turnover there, but that senior linebacker in the middle of that defense, Jermaine Pratt, is a guy that really impressed me over the summer. Tough physical kid that can play all three downs. I like what I've seen from Pratt on film. This is going to be a good matchup for him in this game to watch. And then Alabama, they take on Tennessee. So Tennessee, they've got a linebacker who I believe still has another year of eligibility, and that's Darren Kirkland. He missed all of last season due to injury, but as a senior academically, he was on the Senior Bowl watch list this summer, so certainly is on NFL radars. That's Darren Kirkland again, and this is a kid who looked like a three-down player when I watched him earlier in his career. This year, I've been a little bit concerned with what I've seen athletically, but big test against Alabama, this run game. Obviously, they go 2-3 deep there at that position. But my guy, Damian Harris, is certainly a guy to watch each and every time you watch Alabama on Saturday. And Harris is a guy that I think can do everything you need at the running back position. There are some athletic limitations. He's not to the level of a guy like Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis. But I really like Damian Harris and what he brings to the table. Wide receiver and tight end against DBs. I'll go with Colorado State. You know, wide receiver Friday night, they take on Boise State, and this is an interesting matchup here. You go Preston Williams, a wide receiver, an underclassman, big kid, former five-star recruit, a transfer from Tennessee. There are some things with his game, some inconsistencies catching the football that I'd like to see him kind of work out, but he does have potential as an outside player. B.C. Johnson is a wide receiver, a senior, who I think transitions well as a slot guy. I know he's got an injury going into this game, and he is questionable, but they're hoping that he can go. Going up against Boise State, they've got an underclass or a senior corner in Tyler Horton, a little bit undersized, but a competitive kid that can play inside and outside at the next level. Going back to that, to the West Coast, USC on Saturday takes on Utah. Tyler Pettit is the senior tight end for USC. He catches the ball fairly well, and he does compete. I do think he's more of a backup at the next level, but certainly a pro prospect that you should watch in that game. Going up against this Utah secondary last week, I actually talked on the Journey to the Draft podcast, which I host every week over on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, with Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy brought up Marquise Blair and some of the things that he's heard from him on the road. And he's a violent safety from what he was told, a guy certainly to watch in this matchup here against USC. So keep an eye there on that Utah safety. And then down in the trenches, so, you know, let's look, you know, in the SEC, Mississippi State takes on LSU, like I mentioned earlier. Mississippi State's got an intriguing interior offensive line. Elkton Jenkins, Deion Calhoun, those are some guys that I think have good pro potential. I like Elgton Jenkins, one of the top senior centers in the country coming into the season. Going up against a talented LSU front, I mentioned Rashad Lawrence earlier, that's going to be a good battle there in the trenches here, and really one that Mississippi State needs to win if they're going to take over this game. And then lastly, one big matchup out west, Washington State takes on Oregon. Andre Dillard is a player that I've talked about in the past with some guys over on the Journey to the Draft podcast with my guy Ben Fennell. He saw him in person. Dillard is an intriguing player. The snaps I have seen from him have been really, really impressive. He goes up against Oregon, and my guy's Jalen Jelks, who hasn't really been popping off the stat sheet. I have to watch the film still of Jalen Jelks. He hasn't flashed off when I've watched them on TV, but Justin Hollins has as well. So they've got two edge rushers there for Oregon that are really intriguing. So a good test there for Washington State left tackle Andre Dillard.
I love it. And Washington State is where College Game Day is, finally, out in Pullman, which is very cool. Speaking of finally, are some of you that still haven't yet finally going to go to betonline.ag? We got the Major League Baseball playoffs going on. We've got the NFL, obviously, rocking and rolling. Fantastic back-to-back, awesome primetime games. College football, of course, which is what we talk about here on the College Draft Podcast. All of those things, the place to bet is betonline.ag using the code podcast1. Again, betonline.ag, you use the code podcast1, you get a 50% welcome bonus, 50%. And oh, by the way, this week's word for the Madden phrase that pays, how about R? A-R-E, like R. Fran and Ross are awesome. A-R-E. And so are you for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Of course, it's a Power Rankings Tuesday of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure you check that out. Wednesday is always our biggest day with the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, as well as the RTFP. And then before you know it, it'll be Thursday. We'll have an NFL game on Thursday night. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.